Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. We are in Chovos Halavavos Sha'ar Avodas HaElokim, Perek Hey. We are toward the end of the Perek. In this Perek, again, the Chovos Halavavos, as we've already been spending a lot of time moving through this Perek slowly. The Chovos Halavavos basically is describing the picture of, if we'll put it this way, what he's trying to produce in this Sefer, of a person who lives with a keen awareness of Hashem, but not just a keen awareness of Hashem, but a keen, tangible awareness of his personal dynamic with Hashem, of Hashem's involvement with him and with his life in the past, in the present. He's keenly aware of all the favor that Hashem has shown him. He's keenly aware of the fact that Hashem right now is focused on him intensely. And he's also keenly aware of the immense significance of that, considering that Hashem at the same time is running a universe. Oh, Yashar Koyach, it's page 300 in the English. Thank you, I forgot to ask that. And all this creates a great sense of, we'll call it commitment, but also enthusiasm at the immense privilege at being drawn so close. And when a person really appreciates it properly, everything else pales in comparison. So let's continue now from Velo Yishan Kiim Al Yitzuya Havosoi. A person sleeps only on the bed of Hashem's love. This is just an important point to understand. And this really fits in with much of what we've been discussing, and that is, if a person just lives by rote, so sleep is a major waste of time. It's inevitable. There's no way to get around it. But a person is going to be spending, I don't know, about a third of his life. A person lives for 100 years, Be'ezras Hashem, and about 30 years of those years you're going to be spending sleeping, which kind of seems like a waste of time. What's the purpose of it? So there are purposes of sleeping. Obviously, we need to sleep. But based on what we've been learning the whole time, we understand that sleeping does not have to be a waste of time. Sleeping can also be a time of achievement. And how is that? So I think we've quoted in the past, what Reb Shimshon of Fall Hirsch says, how notes the difference between the way the Jewish clock works and the rest of the world, that by us, it's night and then day. It's night and then day. And we don't have day followed by night. It's night is then followed by day. Night is the preparation for day. And he says that holds very great significance, because when a person goes to sleep, the question is, how are you going to sleep? Are you going to sleep with an approach of, I put in a hard day's work, and now I earned myself a good night's sleep? Or are you going to sleep with an approach of, I'd like to do more, I'd like to serve Hashem further, but I'm going to need to sleep in order to be able to do that right? And Rav Hirsch says, by us, the sleep is a means. It's a means to an end. We are going to sleep for the purpose of invigorating our koiches, invigorating our energies, in order to be able to continue serving Hashem further. We've already discussed plenty how a person's material activities should not be something separate from the system of our spirituality. When a person is approaching things right, when a person is going about parnasa right, when a person is going about raising a family right, And he's doing it with the understanding of this is what Hashem wants from him, and this is how Hashem wants it from him, then that too is included in the system of a person's spirituality. And the same goes for sleep. Go to sleep with a certain conscious awareness of why I'm going to sleep, what I want to achieve by going to sleep. I'm going to sleep because I want to continue a life of Avodas Hashem, and I want to do that in the best way possible. And therefore, and here once again, I'm giving myself Musar here. But making sure that you get enough sleep, or you know what? Let me just be blunt. Making sure that I get enough sleep is something not to be taken lightly. It's something not to be taken lightly. It is once again part of doing our responsibility toward Hashem in order to provide him with the full maximum results that he wants from this very, very great investment that he made, the investment called me. And you know about many of our great people who are very, very makpid on their sleeping times. Rav Eliyashiv was known for his legendary hasmad, his legendary diligence to Torah learning. But his sleeping times were very, very rigid. There was no such thing as going to bed late. I've heard it said, I don't know if this is actually true, but I've heard it said that at his child's wedding, when he married his child off, Rav Eliyashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach were mechutanim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's son married the daughter of Rav Eliyashiv. And I heard it said that at that wedding, as 10 o'clock approached, Rav Eliyashiv got up and was readying himself to leave. And the mechutan, Rav Shlomo Zalman, said, where are you going? We're in the middle of a chasana here. No, it's time to go to sleep. If that story actually was or wasn't, I'm not sure. If it was way before I was born. But the point here, that definitely was the way he lived his life. Sleep was something sacred. Sleep was something sacred because it was an important point. It was an important factor of his rigorous program of learning, of serving Hashem. And the same goes for the rest of us. Sleep is an important factor in us being able to have the koyach to do what we need to do optimally throughout the day. Also in terms of our mood, also in terms of our ability to interact with the people around us, sleep is something to be taken very seriously. And to make sure that we're getting enough of it, that we're getting enough of it. Okay. V'le'izdam elokim t'munasay. A person has only the picture of Hashem in front of him. This, of course, is reminiscent of the pasuk. Very easily brings us to the pasuk of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, which is the first seif in Shulchan Aruch. The Rama brings this. And a person should be living his life seeing Hashem before him. V'layeor ela b'mesiku zichroi. And when a person awakens in the morning, again, we're talking about a person who is, what he's describing here is a person who is, so to speak, obsessed with Hashem, a person who is enthralled with Hashem, enamored with Hashem, infatuated with Hashem, and with the fact that Hashem is actually personally interested in him. And therefore, every day of life is exciting. Every day of life is thrilling. It's another day that I'm going to spend in the company of and under the attention of Hashem. It's also awe-inspiring. It's also intimidating to an extent, but it's thrilling. And therefore, a person wakes up with the fond memory of Hashem, with the fond thought of Hashem. And what we're basically saying is that, yes, we want Hashem to be involved, to be an intimate part of every aspect of life as we're falling asleep and as we're waking up in the morning. Of course, we know that Halacha sets it up for us this way. A Jew wakes up in the morning, the first thing he does is, he says, Moida ani lefanecha, melechai v'kayom. Right? Wake up in the morning, the first thing I'm conscious of is the fact that Hashem brought me back to life. Hashem is granting me another new, fresh day. I want to add some depth to that. there is a halacha that you're not supposed to eat or engage in any material activities, any of your personal affairs, before davening. Now, this is different for a man than for a woman, not getting into the halacha particulars of it right now, but I'm just talking about the simple halacha, primarily relevant for men, that you wake up in the morning, there's no eating, there's no engaging in other things, no business dealings, no phone calls, etc., until you daven. The Maharal gives depth to this. This is really also what's really inherent in the Moed Ha'ani that we say in the morning. And he says like this, what was the most fascinating experience that a human being ever experienced in history? If you are keeping up with the parsha, you might say it was last week's parsha. You might say it's this week's parsha, Ma'amad Har-Sinai. You might say it's last week's parsha, the splitting of the sea. You might say the previous week's parsha, Makas B'chayres, the Makas of Mitzrayim. But if you think about it, the Maharal points out something. It's most likely that the most awesome experience ever experienced by a human being was Adam HaRishon's experience of being created. Realize, Adam HaRishon was not created as a baby. He was created as a mature adult. The Medrash that says, I forgot if it says if he was 20 or 30. I forgot what precisely the age. It was either 20 or 30. But he came into existence as a mature, fully understanding, intelligent adult. Can you try to picture that? Try to picture the experience of suddenly coming into being. It's awesome. And we may allow ourselves to say that that experience probably supersedes any of these other awesome experiences that we're talking about in our history. So the Maharal says, now, I never experienced this. I was born as a baby. All of us were. But the Maharal says that how does such a person respond? What is the instinctive, natural response to suddenly being created when you are with your full understanding, with your full intelligence? So the Maharal, I'm going to say it in my own words, but this is how the Maharal says. The Maharal says the instinctive reaction to being created is you turn to see where's the one who did it. You turn to the creator. You turn to see who just did that. I just came into being. Where's the one who just brought me into being? That is the natural response. Only happened once. But that is the instinctive response to coming into being. And this, the Maharal says, is the significance of this halacha. A person is born in the morning. A person wakes up in the morning. He's being born anew. He's being granted a new existence. And we want to get ourselves used to this experience, this concept, to actually experience it that way. I wake up in the morning and the first thing I do is look around to find the Hashem who did it. Turn to the one who did it. Turn to the one who granted me that new day of existence. How do we do that? The formal way of doing that is in our davening. And therefore, the Maharal says, a person just came into existence and immediately is going to make business calls. A person just came into existence and he's immediately sitting down to breakfast. No. A person came into existence, he goes to seek, he goes to find, he goes to connect with the one who just did that. So again, in the broader, more formal way, this is through our davening, but try to experience that in your Moed Ha'ani. You wake up in the morning, you're still in bed, your Moed Ha'ani is experiencing that. It's sensing how Hashem is handing me another day of life, a new existence, a rebirth. And I turn to him and I say, Moed Ha'ani lefanecha. I thank you, Hashem, for granting me a new existence. And the truth is, a lot of the brachas that we make in the morning revolve around this. Washing our hands in the morning. There are two explanations in the Rishonim of why we have to wash our hands in the morning. Now, I'm not talking about Negel Vasa. The Negel Vasa that you have next to your bed that you're supposed to do immediately upon awakening is actually a bit of a different concept. It's more famous but it's actually, you might even say, like the secondary concept, that there's a certain impurity that rests on a person's hands in the morning until you wash your hands. But the washing in the morning, when you say the bracha of halat yal sidaim, after washing in the morning, that is not for that netilas sidaim. It's not for the washing near the bed. It's for the washing that you do after you got up, you went to the bathroom, you readied yourself to daven. You wash your hands. So there are two explanations given to the significance of that washing. The simple understanding is that, yeah, you are washing your hands because you want to have your hands clean for davening. But the Rashba says that the significance of this washing is that, as we just discussed before, you are like a new Bria. You are created anew. And you are entering the world anew. You're entering the world, and in that sense, you are like a Kohen who is now entering the Beis HaMikdash to begin a day's avoida, to begin a day of service in the Beis HaMikdash. Each of us, when we wake up in the morning, this is what's going on. We wake up, we're given a new existence, and as we step off of our bed, we are stepping into our own Beis HaMikdash, a world in which we are going to be providing our service of Hashem, and we wash just like the Kohanim were obligated to wash before, upon entering the Mikdash, before beginning the Avodah. So this is, going to sleep with Hashem's love and waking up with, the way he says it, the sweetness of remembering Hashem. Now he moves on. We gain our pleasure, we gain our gratification, our satisfaction only from Hashem. The one thing that we would panic about is the thought of doing something against Hashem. And the only time a person is broken, is truly broken, is at the thought of, perhaps Hashem is angry at me now. And the only thought that really frightens a person is that Hashem may want to punish him. And the only thing that truly excites a person is Hashem's reward or Hashem's favor. Again, we were talking about a person who's on the ultimate level of being so intimate with Hashem that everything is worked into that framework. All of his relationships are within the framework of his relationship with Hashem. All of his loyalties, all of his sentiments. He doesn't have another track in life. Hashem wants many of the things that we consider natural. He wants those to be a part of this picture. He wants those to be worked into this system. He wants your family relationships to be a part and parcel of your relationship with him. And therefore, we're not coming here to preclude natural human emotions. But we are talking about lining them up. We're talking about the ultimate person, again, where the whole family is living as a family of, where Hashem is at the head of the family, literally, in all senses. The only thing that he is truly angered over is something that Hashem would expect him to be angry about. Other things don't really anger him. And the only people that he likes are the people who Hashem likes, the people who are doing Hashem's will. Those are the people that he feels an affinity with. Those are the people that he feels a camaraderie with. V'lo'ikachim b'rshusai, he takes only what Hashem gives him. This is basically the concept of sameach b'chelkoi. I live with the awareness that exactly what I have is precisely what Hashem decided to deliver to me. V'lo'yitein elo l'mishativo yiselotislai, and I share with those who Hashem wants me to share it with. V'chein b'chol tenu'a yisav, and with every move this person makes, lo yatik regel, He doesn't move a leg. He won't even move an eyelash. Unless he knows that this is indeed the will of Hashem. So we just spent quite a number of weeks going through the Chovas Halvavos' very elaborate description of this person. The person really who he's trying to produce. We may have seen things here that are over our head. And I've been talking passionately over these weeks. I'm just trying to inspire myself. Many of these things are over my head too. But let's expose ourselves to that person that the Chovas Halvavos is hoping to see at the end of his course. Now, when is the end of his course? The Chovas Halvavos is a course for an entire lifetime. But we are moving as much as we can toward the picture of this person. He just described to us all the effects, all the dynamics of a person who is living with that thrilling and awesome reality of Hashem being intimately involved with you in your life and taking a very intense interest in you, with the understanding of how great he is and how uncanny it is that he should be interested in a tiny human being. Okay. We'll take a deep breath now and move on to the continuation of the Chovas Halvavos' discussion. And here I'm going to move in to the next parak. It's parak shishi. Now, just to get ourselves back into the context, where all this came from. So where this came from was, it came from the discussion, let's go back a few weeks back to how we got into all this. This came from the discussion, this is the Chovas Halvavos providing us with a dialogue between what he calls the Nefesh and the Seichel. This is a person consulting with himself, consulting with his own mind in trying to clarify for himself and trying to gain more insight into his relationship with Hashem, his duties toward Hashem, what he should be doing with his life, how he should be living his life. So this came from the Seichel, a person explaining to himself what it should look like when a person is really living that life of a sense of indebtedness and dedication to Hashem. So now, continuing off that, the Chovas Halvavos continues. And here we're in the sixth parak. Amra ha-nefesh, k'ra ha-vinoisi ma she-zochata. Okay, I understand what you're saying. Okay, you've given me quite an elaborate picture of what it's supposed to look like. But I want you to explain to me now, I want to understand quite the level to which I am obligated in Hashem's service. Instead of trying to explain the question too much, let's move on to the answer, and then we'll understand the question. So, Omar HaSeichel. So, the Seichel says, meaning again, this is you responding to yourself as you're sitting and contemplating and thinking. And the Seichel says, basically, the question is, and this is basically a question that is so characteristic of the Chovas Halvavos, it's attempting to understand, it's all about serving Hashem because of a sense of indebtedness. And now, what he's saying is, I want to appreciate quite how indebted am I to Hashem, and how should I cause that to be reflected in my dedication to Him. So now the Chovas Halvavos is going to lay down a number of layers of people who have different reasons and different levels of what reasons a person might have to be committed to Hashem, to feel indebted to Hashem. So he says, of course, in a general way, it will correspond to the level of good that you're getting from Hashem. Let's say Hashem gives good at a few different levels. He gives level A, level B, level C, level D. So those who are getting level D have a certain level of obligation toward Hashem. Those who are getting level C have a whole added level of obligation. person who's getting level B even more. And a person who's getting the ultimate level has the ultimate level of obligation. So he says as follows. There are four layers or four levels of Hashem's benefit that he bestows onto people. Harishayim. The first, most basic level is Tovas HaBorei HaKoleles Kol HaAdam. It's the good that Hashem does that's common to all of mankind. V'antziyom Acha Shelo Hayu Davar Nimtza, which begins with the fact that he brought you into existence. This, you don't have to be a Jew to be indebted to Hashem for this. He brought you into existence. He's keeping you alive. And he's providing you with all the benefit that we've been discussing back in Shara Bechina. Remember, we talked about learning to appreciate a functioning body, the basics of human existence, having a home. Now, functioning body, we just said that in a couple of words. I'm going to get into it now because we spent so much time talking about it back then. But a functioning body, a functioning body, a functioning body, there's so much to be said about that, right? The wealth of functioning lungs, kidneys, heart, a nervous system, a digestive system, arms, legs, eyes, all your five senses, that is, you're already drowning in a sea of benefit if you really focus on all of those things and appreciate them. But the truth is that that is not a Jewish function per se. These are things that are being provided for all of mankind. And therefore, he says, these all of mankind is obligated, this level of indebtedness is relevant to all of mankind. Every decent human being really should be serving Hashem at some level due to this. So he continues, and he says, therefore, all of mankind is included in this obligation of serving Hashem in a general way. What does it mean to serve Hashem in a general way? What it means is the kolateres hasichlius hashanag b'em adam. He says this is the Torah of seichel, meaning what a person understands through his own intellect he should be doing for Hashem, which was the way Hashem was served throughout the earlier generations before the Torah was given. That's how Adam lived, Chanoich, Noach and his children, Eve and his friends, until the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, let's remember that Hashem first gave his Torah at a relatively late point in history. I believe it was year 2448 from existence, from creation. 2,448 years, there was no Torah. Yet, Hashem was being served throughout those years too. There were very, very righteous and pious people throughout those years, beginning with Adam HaRishon himself and continuing through a certain chain in his offspring. It wasn't everybody, but there was Shais, Enosh, Mahalalel, Mesushelach, Chanoich, Noach, his children. He lists here. There was intense service of Hashem going on throughout all those years. There was Shem, there was Aver, right? And there were the others. So what were they doing? How were they serving Hashem? There was no Torah at that point. So simply understood, and this varied many different levels, but people were serving Hashem through their intellect. People were using their own understanding to try to determine, how could I be serving Hashem? What should I be doing for him? This came in the form of karbanos. It came in the form of tefillah. It came in the form of other things. In the case of Avraham Avinu, it came in the form of chesed. Let's understand, Avraham Avinu began without having a Torah. Chazal tell us that Avraham Avinu observed the entire Torah. And that was a process. It wasn't like the day he discovered Hashem, he began keeping all the dinim of Tchum Shabbos. It was a process. How did it start? Avraham Avinu was the star. He was the star, probably the all-time star of history, in a person who put in those immense efforts to figure out what could I do to serve this Hashem who made me. And what was his process? Basically, it brought him to two major areas of service. First of all, in spreading knowledge of Hashem. But also, Avraham Avinu is famed as the pillar of Chesed. Where did that come from? Did it just come from his good character? Oh, where it came from was, I'm sure that there was good character there too, but where it came from was his efforts to figure out how he could please Hashem. And Avraham Avinu, through going through the process of Shara B'china that we discussed much earlier in this Sefer, through studying all of the chesed that he was receiving from Hashem, and all of the chesed that was extant around him, he was trying to figure out, what is this Hashem like? What does this Hashem value? And after studying the world around him, he came to the conclusion that chesed is Hashem's predominant manner of conduct, which means, Avraham Avinu concluded, that this Hashem, this creator, values chesed immensely, values kindness. And therefore, I am going to dedicate my life to kindness, since I see that this is something that Hashem holds so dear, that this is something that he's busy with his whole life. But whatever the case is, what's the point that we're making? The point that we're making is that these people were all serving Hashem. What he called here, so Rav Avigdor Miller often talked about that, Torah HaSeichel, the Torah that was dictated by their Seichel, what they understood was right, what they understood was wrong, etc. And this was the mode of serving Hashem before the Torah was given. When the Torah was given, all of this was taken to a different level. It was having Hashem actually dictate what pleased him. But coming back to the point that the Chovos HaLevavos is making now, understanding Hashem, you serving Hashem by understanding, by your understanding of what's right. That is meaning to be guided by a conscience, to be guided by a good moral sense, and more than that, by seeking to think, what can I be doing to please this Hashem? This is what Hashem expects out of all of mankind, and this is indeed how it was practiced by the pious of mankind until the time that the Torah was actually given. So he says, yes, anybody who's a recipient of Hashem's general kindnesses, Hashem's inclusive kindnesses, again, like we said, a functioning body, a home, many of the things that we define as basic human existence, anybody who's a recipient of that is subject to this level of indebtedness, this level of commitment to Hashem, to serve Hashem through what what I understand to be right, what I understand will please Him. Now, now he says, if a person really gave his all to this system, I mean, this can be done to very many levels. You have a person who's going to serve Hashem based on his understanding of what's right, but he allows a lot of self-interest to get in the way. What we call the gius, partiality. It won't really take him too far. A general sense of commitment that I should be serving Hashem. Maybe here and there I'll express my gratitude towards him. But then you have the people who are really going all out to try to do this. This is along the lines of what we described from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu took this to the ultimate. Avraham Avinu went so far as to be ready to be thrown into a fiery furnace, but not to betray Hashem. Let's understand how amazing this is. Many Jews, we can be very, very proud of our glorious history. For so many of our people, it was an easy decision for them to give up their lives rather than betray their relationship with Hashem. But this was already given over by the Torah. The Torah says this is what Hashem expects of us, and the Jewish people rose to the occasion amazingly. Avraham Avinu, it was before, nobody ever told him that he has to do that. Nobody told him that he has to do that. Why did he throw himself into the fiery furnace? admit that the idol is an idol and go back to your place and continue doing your thing. Why allow yourself to be killed? Avraham Avinu's sense of commitment to Hashem was so deep that he, through his own understanding and through his own moral sense of commitment, he came to a place of, no, I would rather be thrown into a fiery furnace than to deny Hashem's exclusive power for even a moment. I won't do it. This is just one sample of how Avraham Avinu became the ultimate example of this. Avraham with his wife Sarah. And that's how they raised their family. And therefore, the Chovetz Chavos goes on and says, when a person does really go all out to achieve this level, a sincere, pure, impartial, intense attempt to live a life of commitment to Hashem, dedication to Hashem, and putting that foremost in my agenda, Yetiv Le'elekim, Hashem will start drawing that person close. Right? Hashem began by showering all of mankind. You have the person who is responding as intensely as he can. Hashem is looking after that person. Hashem identifies that person and draws him closer. And then Hashem starts stepping up the benefits that he gives that person. Hashem starts giving special personal attention to that person and stepping up the benefit that that person is getting. He raises him up to a different place, to a special place in this world, and he begins earning his own level of benefit and attention from Hashem. And he has also secured for himself a place in the next stage, in Olam Haba. Kemoy Avram, and as we said, the ultimate example of this is Avram Avinu, Sha'om Alayhi Elokim, Al Tira Avram, Anoichi Mogen Loch Schocha HaBemoy. Do not fear, Avram. I personally am going to become your shield, your protector. You have very, very great reward. In other words, whereas in the beginning, Hashem was providing all of mankind in a very general, inclusive way with his taiva, it moved to a personal level. It wasn't just him among mankind was receiving Hashem's benefits, but now Hashem is turning his personal focus to Avraham Avinu and is providing Avraham Avinu with his own personal focused level of attention and moving him into a different place, moving him, drawing him. You and I are going to have a personal relationship. You're not just going to be receiving it wholesale the way the rest of mankind does. Now, this process goes further. The process goes further, but we'll stop here for this week. Everybody have a healthy week, a week of bracha and hatzlacha and ruchnius and gashmius. Kol tov.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ruchim to you.